Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 21. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. This sacred chapter, the dear Redeemer spoke the sacred words to his dear disciples just before going up to Calvary. And in it were everything really that their souls needed for what was before them in a path that they had not had to walk before. And in it is everything that your soul and mine, if we are God's dear children, everything we need is found in it. It is really upon the last two clauses of this verse that the Lord laid it upon me. And I was not well last week. The Lord seemed to drop these words into my soul with such sweetness and power. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It's upon those sacred words we want his help to speak from this morning. And I will love him. Well, let me begin with the desire of your heart and mine, is it? Our soul's desire that he would speak such a word as this to us. You see, the Lord does manifest his love to his dear people. And why does he manifest his love to them? It is because he loves them and has loved them ere time began. And all those that he has loved with an everlasting love, wherever they may be in the earth, he will convey that love into their souls. But have we the desire to know it? Because I believe if the Lord has a love toward us, he will give us the desire to know that love. And may we, if we are spared to go on in life's journey here below, know more and more of that love shed abroad in our hearts. You see, the 11 here were brought into a time of severe testing of their religion. The Saviour, whom they had had sweet communion and fellowship with unto this moment, was now going to leave them. And it's a searching place, isn't it, when we're brought where the Lord leaves us for a season. You see, what was so wonderful about this was, though they, because of their unbelief, couldn't see it. And so often we're like them, aren't we? They could not see how again he would come to them. And yet he had told them he would. So it was a testing time. And it may be with your soul, you're in a time of real testing. The Lord will prove his dear children's religion. He will put them in the fire. He will put them in the furnace to see how they fare. And why does he do it? Because he loves them. And that love has got to be proved in their hearts, that they truly love him. Now with these dear disciples, he says, and I will love him. I will love him. You may say, what, such a black sinner as me, one that has so often despised his holy name, one who has so often fallen in sin, one that has so often been afar off and backslidden. I think of those beautiful words that the Lord Jesus so often conveyed to his disciples, how he loved them. Think of dear Peter, I think I mentioned it on Thursday, where the Lord said to him, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And because he loved Peter, he had prayed for him. And he prays for every one of his dear children. But I want us help to look a little at this clause, and I will love him. May the Holy Spirit so convey that word to your soul. You may feel out of the secret. You may feel, well, I'm such a black sinner. However can the Lord love me? He doesn't love your sin, poor soul, and he doesn't love mine. But he came because he loved his bride, his church, into this world to put away their sins. I often think of what the dear hymn writer said. Love brought him from above, and love took him home to God. And you see, love was in his blessed birth. Love to his church, love to his bride. This is why he came into this earth. Love brought him from above. Love was in all his dealings with those he dealt with upon the earth. Love was and is with his dear children and toward them every one today. That he's love with an everlasting love. You think of that beautiful word the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Do you long for him to say that to you? And I'll tell you what it'll do, poor soul, if you are favoured to hear him speak those precious words, or like the hymn writer speaking the same words, I have loved thee well, my child. You know, a loving parent they will so often convey their love in different ways to their dear children, won't they? They will convey their love by embracing them. They will convey their love by kissing them. They will convey their love to them by providing for them the food and raiment. It's all done and should be in love. What do we see? What do we read in the Word of God? We do all things in vain, except we do all things in love. And using that as a simple illustration, look at it greater in a far greater way. The Lord loves his dear children. He gave his only begotten Son in love to redeem them, and in love to put away their sin by suffering, bleeding, dying at Calvary. Love was in every step of his walk from Bethlehem to Calvary. And may we know what it is to be embraced in that love. Just take the few things that I've named concerning natural love. Look at it spiritually. Do you know what it is when he embraces you with his love? He puts his arms of love and mercy round you. What do we read in the Song of Solomon? The spouse said this, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And those kisses were kisses of love. And you know, there are times where the Lord will kiss away the sin of his dear people with a kiss of love. I've said before what dear Mr. Morris said once at Clifton many, many years ago. He said, you know, many of God's dear people, they expect the Lord to say to them, son or daughter, thy sins that are many are all forgiven. But he said, you know, sometimes he does not say a word, but he kisses their sin away. It may be a child may do something wrong and grieve the dear parent, and the child fears the wrath what they know they deserve because of what they've done wrong. But instead of that, the loving mother or father comes and embraces them and kisses them. Not that they agree with what they've done wrong, but they correct them in love, you see. I kept thinking last evening with this text upon my heart about what the apostle said, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And there may be those of you in affliction or in bitter trial in your soul or in your pathway, and you feel you're under God's correction. And you wonder where the scene's going to end, but, oh, poor soul, may you see in it God's love. The hymn writer said, and I remember the Lord speaking it to me many years ago, bastards may escape the rod, sunk in earthly vain delight, but the true-born child of God must not, would not, if he might. Oh, to see the correcting hand of the Lord upon you. And he's given in love. And I will love him. This is a sweet word of and may the heart of each of us be warmed by this word. And I will love him. You may say, what with the future, the unknown way, and the swellings of your eye will love him. Having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. You see, this love that is shed abroad and so manifested in this sacred chapter is a love that will never be extinguished. There are many things of time, and our love so often is cold and it's faint and it's soon put out, isn't it? It's soon extinguished. But this love never will be. It's everlasting. It's eternal. And oh, when the Lord dropped it into my heart, it quite melted me, you know. I will love him. And I will love him. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what man says. I will love him. This is what the Lord has said. As many would have cast David out, as we looked at on Thursday, because of his sin. Man would. But not that the Lord loved David's sin, God forbid I should ever suggest it. He didn't. He hated David's sin. But in love the Lord had compassion upon him and had mercy upon him and forgave him of all that sin, didn't he? Oh, he did. But let us look at it a little in reverse. You see, if the Lord says to your poor heart, and I will love him, I will love her, what would be the effect of it and the feeling of it in your soul and mine? Well, first of all, the Lord will give you a special love to him. Because of him conveying this love to you, it'll kindle the flame of sacred love in your cold heart and in mine, won't it? A taste of the love of Christ will, in a moment in the sinner's heart that he loves, it'll kindle that flame of sacred love. Oh, it will. And what'll be the effect? The love in your soul will go out to the Lord. Oh, it will. And you'll be able to say in sweet measure with the dear hymn writer, "Do not I love thee, dearest Lord?" You'll be melted by that love. And love will flow out of your heart. You think of the spouse, and you can read that whole sacred book of the Song of Solomon. We know there were many times, and there will be with you and me, where our love is cold and faint. But as soon as he kindled his love toward her, oh, the love that went out of her soul, love to the Lord, love to a precious Christ. And I will love him. But then, not only will there be that love flowing out of your heart, it'll flow out to the Blessed Trinity, because they are all involved in this love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love to the Father. He speaks of it here, doesn't he? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. This is what the Lord was going to do for these dear disciples, you see. And he will do it to the child of God today, if it's his holy will. So there will be this love to the Trinity, love to God the Father for sending his beloved Son, and love to the precious Son of God for all that he's accomplished in redeeming sinners, and love to the blessed Holy Spirit who quickens the sinner into life that they might know this love. And love to the blessed Spirit, because it's he that conveys the blessings of love down to sinners' hearts. You see, the Holy Spirit conveys that love right into your poor heart and mine. So when this love goes out of your poor heart, it'll go out to the blessed Trinity. Oh, it will. But then that love will flow out from your poor heart and mine to his word. What is it makes the word of God so precious to sinners? Well, the whole essence of it all really is because it is given by God in love for the encouragement and help and comfort and reproof of God's dear children. You see, every word of the inspired word of God, from Genesis to Revelations, was penned in love. Oh, it was. The very essence and nature of God is love. I heard one of the old preachers say in my early days that man speaks of the wrath of God, the God's solemn judgments, and we should declare them. But you see, the very nature of God is love. What do we read? God is love. It's the very nature of God. Wonderful thing, it's man that has kindled the wrath of God, but the very nature of God is love. And so when we read the holy word of God, you'll see love inscribed in it all. Oh, you will. And this is what's so felt in the sinner's heart. They love his holy word because it's the word of their God whom their soul loves and who's manifested that love to them. Why is it the world do not love the word of God? It's because they see no beauty in it. They may read it, professors of religion, they read it as print on the page, and it's never any more than that. But with the real child of God, it's inscribed in love to their poor heart. It's the word of the living God, and love is in it all. But then, do we love his people? There's a precious word, isn't there, in the word of God. You may not feel to have got much religion this morning, poor soul. You mourn because you feel so little of his love, and your love feeling so is so cold and faint. But what does he say? We know, not perhaps we think we do, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know, it's a great encouragement to an early seeking soul, the love he gives to them, to God's people. We heard of it at the funeral on Friday. So the love the Lord gave to that dear man, to his dear people, he saw in them there was something that he hadn't got in those early days. But he was drawn to them. Well, let's use an illustration from God's holy word. You think of a dear Ruth. The love she had, not just natural love to Naomi as her mother-in-law, but the love there was in her to Naomi's God. It drew her to Naomi. It didn't draw Orpah to her, did it? That leads me to look at it from another complete direction, really. You think of the solemn case of Orpah. She loved Moab. She loved Moab's gods. She loved Moab, the Moabitish people. But they weren't God's people. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The reason why Orpah went back to her gods and to her people, that's where her heart was, that's where her love was. What do we read this morning? Love not the world nor the things of this world. Why? Because they're all perishing. You think of dear Ruth, she could see as she looked at all of Moab, that it got death stamped on it all. It was all dying. And if she tarried with them, she would die with them and perish in their sin. But oh, Ruth had that special love to Naomi, God's people. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. Why? Because they're all perishing. You see, Jesus said the time will come when all these things shall be dissolved. And you think of what a solemn place we'll be in if we're resting on things that are perishing, like they did in the days before the great flood. And when that great flood came, they perished in their sin. Oh, may we know what it is to have a real love to God's dear people. She could truly say, couldn't she, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. May we have the religion. I often desire it for the dear young ones and each of us, what dear Ruth had. But you look at what she had to leave as she comes out from Moab. Everything of it. And what drew her out of it? Love to the Lord. Her love was greater to the Lord than it was to the natural love of Moab. You see, the Lord's love to his dear people is so great it will draw them out of the world. And it'll draw them to himself. There's a good prayer, isn't it? I often quote it, but in the Song of Solomon, of the spouse, and I hope it's my prayer every day. Draw me, and we will run after thee. You know, love draws the children of God. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. And he'll draw you away from the world and draw you away from self and draw you away from all natural religion and draw you to himself as the one thing that is needful. And I will love him. I will love him. In spite of all his sin, in spite of all his failings, in spite of all his blackness, I will love him. This is what the Saviour said. And you see, never man spake like this man. I will love him. There may be those of you that are praying for some in the world to die, and may the Holy Spirit convey this to your poor soul and mine as we seek to bear them up at the throne of grace, the Lord at work in them, and the Lord say to us, and I will love him. And the day will come when he will, you know, manifest that love. I will love him. He may be despised, he may be rejected of men, but I will love him. It's like those two women that went to hear Whitfield preach, and they were sunk in sin, and the world had rejected them, and Satan had. They'd been such vile characters, and they went in to hear dear Whitfield preach. And during his sermon he said, friends, are there those here, he said, that the world has rejected and the devil has rejected? He said, Christ came into the world to save the devil's castaways. And that's just where they were, you know. And the Lord used it to deliver them. The devil's castaways, you couldn't get much lower than that, could you? But I will love him. But then the Lord will put that love into your poor heart, not only to his people, but to his ways. What does the hymn writer say? I love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. Jesus said, didn't he, in this chapter, if ye love me, keep my commandments. I remember before I joined the church in 1963, I felt such a love to God's dear children and such a love to the church of God. And such a love to his ways, his commandments. We have it here, don't we? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And the Lord showed me, you know, in his sweet commandments, the blessedness of them. And oh, my soul, so loved, and I trust I do today, those sweet commandments of the Lord. But then there will be a real love to God's house. You know, many say, oh, well, we can worship wherever we wish, and but, you know, we know the Lord can bless his people wherever they be. But, you know, he has promised to bless Zion and bless his house. I often think of that word, you know, in the Psalms. He loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. You think of that word. He loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And he's promised to manifest his love to his dear people in his house. Oh, you know, over the years there have been many that have gone through this sanctuary that are now in glory, and in many of our chapels, and they had a special love to the house of God. And why was it? It was because the Lord had so revealed his love to them there. And you know, some of those old saints, they used to love to go and sit in that spot in the pew where the Lord blessed them may have been 50 years ago. And they loved that place because it was the place where the Lord blessed them. Well, let me prove it from the Word of God. Jacob never forgot Bethel. We know he was brought into solemn concern about his soul there. But you look how he continually went back there in his own experience. He had a special love to Bethel. And there it was, the Lord revealed himself to him as his Saviour, his Redeemer, and the promise the Lord gave him concerning his future and the unknown why. And he had a special love, as there are a few Bethels in your heart and mine, where the Lord came down and he blessed him there and promised to be with him in all places whither he was to go. Oh yes. And to bring him again into this land. And oh, may the Lord grant that to you. You look back today and there have been those times of sacred blessing where your soul was melted by his love and you long for it again. And the Lord promised Jacob he would bring him again into this land, the place where he had been blessed. And may it be sweetly conveyed to your soul and mine today, he will bring you again, I don't know why name it, into that land of divine blessing in his time and in his way. And you see, with these dear disciples, they were walking now in sorrow. The Saviour was to leave them. But would he see them again? Think of that beautiful promise in chapter 16. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man shall take from you. And you look at the joy after the resurrection, how he saw them again. He brought them into the place of blessing again that they'd known in former days. The poet said this, thou shalt obtain the blessing yet. Jesus will not thy cries forget. And I will love him. I will love him. In spite of all the opposition of Satan, in spite of all the temptations you're having to walk through, in spite of all the dark paths you're walking in, I will love him. And will manifest myself unto him. Manifest myself. You see, they were to know this, and there's two meanings to it, and I'll just briefly name it before we leave it, but the two ways you could look at this. So the first is this, how wonderfully this was to be fulfilled after the resurrection. How he manifested himself to Mary Magdalene, and then to the dear disciples. But there's a deeper sense. He was to manifest himself to their souls as their Redeemer, their Saviour, their all. And oh, may the Holy Spirit not only convey to you and to me this morning, but his blessed everlasting love, but he would manifest himself to us as our Redeemer. Like Job when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And how did he know that? because the Lord had manifested it to him, revealed it to him, conveyed it into his soul, you see. And I will manifest myself. You see, in this text, this last two clauses, I know I've only hinted at them this morning, but you know, there's a blessed prospect in it. And there was to these dear disciples. Your late beloved pastor used to say, if you haven't got a prospect in your religion, it's not worth anything. And you think of these dear disciples, they got a wonderful prospect before them. He says, I will love you. I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. There's a wonderful certainty here, you see. And of course, really, this was a wonderful taste of the eternal glory and bliss that they were to be favoured with when the Lord took them from this earth. How they were to know the fullness then of his love, and how they were to know the fullness of the manifestation of himself. They were to see him as they'd never seen him before, in glory. Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath laid up for his dear people. But just one thing, and I must leave it. And it's this. May the Holy Spirit sweetly convey this love into our souls this morning. And that our poor hearts may be kindled with that love. And I'll tell you what you feel. If I know anything about it at all, you'll be melted by it. You know, this can melt the hardest marble of your poor heart and mine. Let me prove it to you from the Word of God. When the dear Redeemer brought Legion, the hard, rebellious man that no man could tame, to the feet of Jesus, he conveyed to that dear man his everlasting love toward him. He loved the dear man. The devils hated him. They wanted to destroy him. Man had no time for him. But the Lord loved him. And he cast all the devils out, and he brings the dear man to the feet of Jesus. And you look how melted he was by that love, humbled, clothed, and in his right mind. May that be the favoured portion of each of our souls. Amen.